No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Well, Mr. Ginsberg, I'm not sure that the Winnipeg Jets' performance at 5-on-5 is sustainable come playoff time. But one thing I am certain about is that Connor Hellebuck looks like he's in a playoff mode as the Winnipeg Jets collect 2 points tonight in their contest in Nashville. And both of those points are the result of Connor Hellebuck's brilliance. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss the Connor Hellebucks defeating the Predators by a 4-3 margin in a game that was certainly entertaining, had some life to it, had some physicality to it, had some energy to it. But if it wasn't for Connor Hellebuck, there's not a lot to like about the Winnipeg Jets' performance, particularly in the final 40 minutes.
Absolutely. The Jets were badly outshot in this game. Luke Evangelista had 25 shots on goal and he couldn't score. The shots were 22-5 for the Predators in the second period.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly. One of the most lopsided second periods of the year. But look, Craig Button said it the other day on TSN. It's not about, you know, which team is better. It's about which team finds a way to win, right? So the Jets found a way to win. And, you know, we know how good the Jets have been at 3-on-3 in overtime, right? And Scheifele and Connor, how many times have we seen them do that, right? So the Nashville Predators get their point, of course, but they could have easily had 5 or 6 goals in this game. You think to that chance in the middle frame, Philip Forsberg had that chance where Hellebuck had to make a really tight glove save. Yeah. We talked about Evangelista had the breakaway. He actually had 2 breakaways. One was more of a partial breakaway, but Evangelista had that good scoring chance on the man advantage.
Brendan Dillon late in the third period. Saves what looks like it should be a clear goal. I mean, it's on the stick of Cole Smith and he just has to tuck it in. And Brendan Dillon, you know, desperation style, is able to tie it up and knock it off and prevent what looked like to me was going to be the game winning goal from the Nashville Predators. And then, you know, the Jets hang on for dear life just to get it into overtime.
Absolutely. That play on Smith by Dillon was huge. Dillon and Pionk really struggled. I mean, we'll get into that in the Betway game recap. They were actually 2 of the 3 worst Jets at even strength. So that D pair struggled a lot. But I mean, it was just too hard for the Jets to get out of their own zone. They had a lot of problems with the Predators' pressure. And look, there's a reason why the Predators had points in 18 straight games, right? Like we've talked a lot about the Predators. They've surprised a lot of people. And, you know, they were the better team. I mean, I think the first period, the first 5 minutes, you know, the Jets weren't very good. They had 6 goals on the first two goals on their first 2 shots, right?
If they had 6 goals on their first 2 shots, that would have been really impressive.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't think that's ever happened, right? But, just giving up way too many shots. Yeah. And look,
loose.
Like Ryan O'Reilly, he was a Conn Smythe winner in 2019. Roman Josi is, if he's not a top 5 defenseman in the league, he's a top 3 defenseman. Like, I realize a guy named Quinn Hughes might win the Norris Trophy this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if Josi was a finalist, or at the very least, he gets some serious Norris consideration. And Josh Morrissey was excellent, right? Like, we saw him on the TSN broadcast get the, what's it called, Napa Auto Performance part of the night or part some of the game, whatever it's called.
Some nonsense like that.
I mean, but, you know, we're used to that over the years. We're just used to Josh Morrissey being the Jets' best defenseman. And I got to say, and you know, we'll hear it in the chat, but the more Logan Stanley plays, like, if you would have asked me a month ago, Drew, if Logan Stanley was going to be in your top 6, I still would rather have Nate Schmidt in my top 6 if we're starting a 7-game series against Colorado, which is obviously a couple weeks away. But look, you know, yeah, Logan Stanley had a big boy fight with Michael McCarron, and it was kind of a one-punch knockout. That to me is not really.
And I'll let you finish your thought. I didn't love the decision by Stanley there to fight at that point in the game. And I'll tell you why.
Did it have any impact on the game?
I thought it gave Nashville a little bit of an energy boost. I think at that stage of the third period where that fight occurred, so that fight occurs a minute and a half into the third period, the Jets need to try and turn the temperature down for that period. The second period was obviously terrible. We talked about that. The Jets get outshot 22-5. You get out of the second period, you escape the second period only thanks to the heroics of Connor Hellebuck. The decision by Stanley there to fight, to me, just maybe gave Nashville a little bit more juice. And I'm not saying that was the reason why the Predators came back. The Predators came back because they were the better of the two teams, far better of the two teams for a big chunk of tonight's game. But if you're picking and choosing, you know, when you drop the gloves, to me, that was a decision that I would have rather seen Stanley sort of walk away from at that point in time.
Sure. I think that, you know, when you're talking about Stanley, they're clearly giving him an opportunity here, right? Colin Miller has not played a lot since he was acquired from the Devils. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's all I'm saying. I think there's a shot that Stanley's playing in the once the playoffs start. So
I would agree with that. Right now, he seems to be the favorite to be in the lineup of that sort of, you know, the question mark on the Jets' back end. He seems to be the guy that the Jets are sort of, seems like he's the guy in the driver's seat. I mean, obviously, Neil Pionk's performance tonight will be talked about because his struggles continue. But regardless, it seems like he's just going to be given that spot in the lineup. Whether or not it's deserving, and whether or not he'd be better off sitting for a few games to maybe rest or maybe just sort of recalibrate himself, we've said and we've argued that he probably should, but that doesn't seem like it's even an option for the Winnipeg Jets at this point. But I would agree with you. It seems like Stanley is the proverbial leader in the clubhouse here on Masters Week to be in the Jets lineup for game one of the playoffs, which is not something I would have expected to say.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's the leader. I just think he's in serious conversation for that spot. And I wouldn't be surprised if Nate Schmidt and Colin Miller are back in the lineup. Obviously not both of them, because you would have to sit another defenseman. But,
right.
You know, again, it goes back to what we said. You know, you're badly outplayed in the second period. You're badly outplayed for stretches of the third period. The special teams were good. Obviously, the Jets scored a power play goal. The penalty kill was really good tonight. And again, you know, you find a way to get an extra point. And, you know, there were a lot of similarities to 2018, obviously the big rivalry between the Jets and the Preds when they were competing for the President's Trophy. But, you know, the Jets that year, sometimes they were badly outplayed, but Connor Hellebuck would bail them out. So, you know, you found a way to win, even though, mm-hmm. you know, you were absolutely inundated with shots, right? So I think that doesn't lead well when you're going into a game like you are against Dallas, because we know that Dallas has already defeated the Jets three times. And, you know, Dallas is, you know, they got to play better. They got to find a way to win. Like, I know that, you know, Nick Ehlers had a bad giveaway on the first goal, and that's probably why Rick Bowness took him off the top line. But, you know, the line was pretty good after he made that switch, right? We know Connor and Scheifele. I mean, it's funny. I think we're going to probably be talking about this, you know, for the remaining four games, you know, whether it's going to be Ehlers or Connor on that top line. And I think we already know, we don't need to debate it again. Ehlers is, the numbers are better when Ehlers is on the top line.
Yeah, the numbers clearly are. You don't like the turnover, and we'll get into that in the Betway game recap coming up here in a couple of minutes' time. You know, Connor Hellebuck is the reason the Jets win this game. This is probably, I mean, in a year that the Jets have maybe relied on him, to steal games less often than in years past. I'm not going to say the Jets have relied on him less, because that wouldn't be the case, but he probably hasn't stolen or needed to steal as many games as blatantly as in some years past. Tonight was one of those games where his performance is really the reason why the Winnipeg Jets were victorious. I'd expect he gets Thursday night off. That would be sort of my expectation. They come back with him on Saturday, based on sort of our conversation that we have with Jamie Thomas on Saturday's, Illegal Curve Hockey Show, that they don't want to give him more than, say, 5 days off. That's too many days off if he'd be out of the net for that long. So, I would expect that he gets Thursday off. He comes back Saturday. He probably maybe plays again on Tuesday or obviously next week's schedule will still determine itself out, because the Jets right now, depending on the results of this evening's Minnesota Wild Colorado Avalanche game, a game that is now tied at 2 goals apiece, 5 minutes into the second period, the Jets could finish tonight in second place, and which would come with home ice advantage, something I really didn't expect to say. They're going to have a game in hand on the Avalanche regardless. So the Jets are in an advantageous position when it comes to that battle for home ice, which is, again, a bit of a surprise at this point. I didn't expect, after the 6-game losing streak, that the Jets would be in the position where you win out, you finish in second place and get home ice for game one of the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. They're in control of their own destiny, and that's all you want at this point, right? So 2 big games coming up, and that game on Saturday most likely will have huge playoff implications. So that's a good position to be in. You want to be controlling your own destiny for sure.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's why the Jets sort of needed the 2 points tonight. Oh, as you getting a little bit zoomed up in there, buddy. I don't think any of us need that right now. There we go. We'll back that up a bit. That's okay. But I don't think that's why it was important for the Jets to get that second point tonight. Not because it overwhelmingly matters, come playoff time. We know the Jets are going to be a playoff team, but just to be able to, you don't want to leave a point on the table, especially when you're up 2 goals entering the final period. You don't want that to end up, impacting your chase for home ice advantage. And to the Jets' credit, despite not really playing that well for the vast majority of tonight's game, they do get that second point with the overtime winner. And we'll get into all of the goals and all of the game right now in what we call the Betway Game Recap.
The Betway Game Recap.
Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. With a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. The goal scoring opens up at the 4:05 mark of the first period. It's Tommy Novak. He gets his 16th of the year. Assist to Kiefer Sherwood. Sherwood also gets his 16th assist on this one. And it's just an error in judgment by Nikolaj Ehlers on this one. And I believe, and I'm certainly a fan of Nikolaj Ehlers' game, but it's plays like this that drive Rick Bowness absolutely batty, where you're forced into a turnover. So it's not a complete free pizza. It's good playing by the Predators to force you to commit the turnover, but at the same time, you have to have a little bit more situational awareness and a little more puck awareness as to where, not all turnovers are created equally. If this one goes up the boards as opposed to in the middle of the ice, it's probably a much different situation for the Winnipeg Jets. Nonetheless, that's where it goes, into the heart of the ice. And Sherwood to Novak, and Novak with a really nice play, to beat Dylan DeMello as well, and then beats Connor Hellebuck on the backhand at the 4:05 mark of the first period, Ezzy.
Yeah, and the thing with this is that Ehlers coughs up the puck twice on one play, and we talked about that was a big reason why he was moved from the first line to the second line. And yeah, it's just good work.
He was benched for a large period of time after this play as well.
It was good work by Kiefer Sherwood, as you mentioned, and it's a nice play to Tommy Novak. Tommy Novak, a young player, came up through the AHL, and just a really nice turnover. But the thing that bothered me is that Ehlers coughs up the puck and then he circles back, and he puts it in an area where he should know better. Like, it's just not. I don't think anything good is going to happen out of that. Like, I realize what he's trying to do. But as we talked about, like, early in the first period, and then you just saw more of it in the second period, the Jets were just having trouble exiting their zone. They were just sloppy in general out of their own zone. So, you know, credit to, you know, this line for the Predators. I'm not sure. I guess that would be the third line, right? Novak, Beauvillier, Evangelista, and yeah, a key for Sherwood, pardon me. And yeah, it's just nice play by Sherwood. And, you know, we talked about it, you know, the Jets come right back, but the first 4 or 5 minutes was all Preds.
Yeah, it was all Preds. And to be perfectly honest with you, I thought the Preds had already clinched a playoff spot. I didn't realize that they hadn't. And I was sort of, and didn't realize it until the third period as to, you know, why everybody was going absolutely haywire and bonkers. I wasn't sure if they had all spent a little too much time on Broadway recently, but I didn't realize that the Preds needed that one point to mathematically clinch the playoff spot, which they, of course, got. Worth noting, though, as we continue here with the Betway game recap, that with the Jets victory tonight, with by virtue of the Jets getting the extra point, the Predators cannot catch them now. So the worst the Jets can finish is third in the Central Division. Nashville mathematically can only get to 101 points if they win out, and the Jets, of course, are now at 102 points. So unless they take away points from the Jets over the next four games, the Jets will be either second or third, one of the top three spots in the Central Division. 1-0 for Nashville at this point. The Jets had already killed off a penalty here, and Adam Lowry had taken an early interference penalty, and then the Jets get an opportunity on the power play. It's with Michael McCarron in the box for holding. He takes that penalty. I believe, if I recall correctly, but Gabe Vilardi at 6:51, so about 2 minutes and 46 seconds after Nashville opens the scoring, Gabe Vilardi assist to Mark Scheifele and Josh Morrissey, and it's just an absolute highlight reel goal by Gabe Vilardi to showing off the hands that he has in tight. I'd say that he was stick handling in a phone booth, but a large percentage of our audience might not know what a phone booth is anymore, but just an unbelievable individual effort by Vilardi. And, of course, nice assists from Scheifele and Morrissey. But it really does start with Sean Monahan making a great puck retrieval at the beginning of the play to set it all up before Vilardi gets on the highlight reels, Ezzie.
Yeah, it was a beautiful goal by Vilardi, as you mentioned, individual effort. We've seen him do that so often, you know, near the opposing goalie, and love the work that Kyle Connor also was doing on the power play here, drawing a lot of attention from the Predators. And you're right, it's a nice little kind of chip back to Morrissey at the blue line, who gets it to Scheifele at his usual spot on the half wall, and then he gives it to Vilardi, and he obviously does the rest. But just an unbelievably highly skilled play by Vilardi.
Yeah, to do what he was able to do on this one, you know, between his legs and then in tight and to go bar down. I mean, it, you know, just the skill necessary to get the shot off is impressive, but then to put that, you know, bar down in tight, just like he was able to do, is a remarkable play by a young player who is just really still continuing to come into his own. That's his 20th of the year. So you know how excited he is that he is now a 20 goal scorer in what was an injury shortened season. So had he been healthy for the entirety of this year, you think that the number is probably closer to 30 or maybe even closer to 35, but you know, that'll be for years to come for this member of the Winnipeg Jets. So it's 1-1 at this point in time. The Jets take the lead 2-1 a minute and 28 seconds later. As you referenced it, two goals on two shots for the Winnipeg Jets to start this game. Mark Scheifele with his 24th of the year, and Mark Scheifele's continued mastery over the Predators, particularly in Nashville, continues. A great play by Tyler Toffoli to keep it in at the offensive blue line, and he's able to find Scheifele, and Scheifele with just the silky smooth backhand top shelf beating UC Saros to give the Jets the 2-1 lead a little more than 8 minutes into the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And then all the momentum was in the Jets' favor, right? Even though, like we talked about, they only had a couple shots on net. But yeah, you mentioned the Tyler Toffoli play, Drew. That's what stood out to me watching this. Like, that is just, you know, hard work. That's what that goal is. Pardon me. That's what that play by Tyler Toffoli is, to poke that puck away. I forget who he poked the puck away from. But yeah, you know, Scheifele goes forehand, backhand, forehand, and then goes off the post on UC Saros. Then within a 2 minute span, Nashville's out shooting the Jets 6-2, but they're down 2-0, you know, around 8 minutes into the game. So Scheifele was great tonight. And yeah, love to Foley. I know he was moving around a little bit from line to line. And when Nino Niederreiter comes back, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Cole Perfetti had a bit of a quiet game for him, right? Like he had his 3-point game the other night, but you know, he was a little bit more quiet tonight. But yeah, love that effort by Toffoli to poke the puck away at the Nashville blue line. And then again, like these are just two beautiful goals by Scheifele and Vilardi, right? And and this is who needs to be scoring for the Jets down the stretch. We talked about it. You're going to go into Dallas on Thursday. You're going to go into Colorado on Saturday. There's major seeding implications here. The Jets still have a good shot at finishing second and getting home ice for the first round at least, right? And yeah, that's huge. And again, opportunistic should maybe be the word of the night for us, Drew, because you know, you're badly outshot, but you know, some people, we just had the comment up and I see in the chat, some people are talking about, you know, they didn't like the Jets' effort tonight. And this reminded them of, you know, the kind of 2019 to 2021 Jets where they would get badly outshot, but Hellebuyck would make 35 to 40 saves and they would still win because Scheifele or Connor or Ehlers, the skill would just take over. But, you know, that's how hockey is sometimes. I mean, Craig Button, again, we have him on the show all the time. That's what he said. And it makes sense, right? Like, it's not always the better team that wins, right? Yeah. Like, sometimes you just have to find a way to win. And the Jets aren't going to apologize for having the best goaltender in the world. UC Saros, by the way, is still a top five goalie in the world, in my opinion. And he made some key saves, right? So the Jets are never going to apologize for Hellebuyck playing really well. But yeah, he definitely stole this game. We talked about it. The Predators easily could have had 4 or 5 goals in this game.
Yeah, no question.
Maybe Connor 6 or 7, to be honest with you.
Well, 6 or 7, yeah, not far off. As you talked about the time on ice for both Ehlers and Perfetti tonight, as they were the two lowest Jets in terms of time on ice. Ehlers, 9 minutes and 37 seconds. Cole Perfetti, 9 minutes and 23 seconds. Perfetti had 2 shifts total in the third period, and Ehlers had 3 shifts in the third period. So you could see that both of those players were in the Rick Bowness doghouse based on their performance earlier in tonight's game. Ehlers with that giveaway, you know, in the first period that we referenced leading to the Tommy Novak goal, and Cole Perfetti, again, sort of a minute, just not a lot of ice time for either of those two guys, as Rick Bowness clearly wasn't impressed with what he was seeing from them early in the contest. And as a result, they were really sitting on the pine for a lot of the contest after that.
Yeah. And we got the comment up from Bardo before we get into the Jets' third goal, Drew, like, I agree with you. But again, I thought Brisson, we talked about this last post-game show, I thought Hellebuyck was going to get the night off and LB was going to play in Nashville, and then Hellebuyck gets the Dallas game, right? Because we know that, you know, Dallas is one of the best teams in the league.
Right.
So I think we, going into this game, like before this game was even played, I think you would agree that, you know, it made sense to go with Brisson against Dallas. But now, especially because Hellebuyck faced, I'm not sure if it got up to 50 shots, 49, whatever it was.
It was in the high 40s.
Yeah, 48 shots. I think, especially because there were 48 shots put on Hellebuyck. I agree with Bardo here. Is it Bardo or Bardot? I think it might be Bardo, but
he'll tell us in the chat. Clearly,
there you
assuming
go.
It's at least, but yes, they'll tell us in the chat.
Yeah, I think Drew and I are on the same page. I think most people in the chat would agree that Brisson should get the game Thursday night. Yeah. But I'm with Drew. I think they go back to Hellebuyck on Saturday, and then if you just want to do the kind of, you know, rotation, then, you know, Brisson probably plays Tuesday against the Kraken, and then Hellebuyck gets your last start. So there you go. 4 games left. Brisson gets 2. Hellebuyck gets 2. But we talked about this on Saturday morning show. I thought there was a possibility that Brisson was going to get 3 of the last 6. It looks like he's going to get 2 of the last 6.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, we'll see how what ends up happening next week, but I would definitely, given the workload that Connor Hellebuyck faced tonight, let him have, you know, a nice sizable few days off. Let him be off the ice, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you bring him back Saturday afternoon, and then really you're talking about 1 game in the span, you know, of almost a week, and that'll give a decent amount of rest leading into the playoffs.
And you know, I just want to say one more thing about Hellebuyck and you know, these last 4 games. The Jets, we could debate this all night long about, you know, how important is home ice, but I think that is factoring in here. The Jets want to finish second. They would rather get, and we're not talking about from a business perspective, we're talking about they want to finish second in the Central so they get one extra home game. That's why I think Hellebuyck is probably playing more. Maybe I'm wrong. maybe you disagree, Drew, but I think if put it this way, if the Jets were 6 points back of the Avalanche right now and they had really no chance of finishing second, I think Brassois probably starts three of the last six games, including tonight's game. But I think because the Jets are only 2 points back, or sorry, they're tied actually now. Technically tied. Colorado, I think, is up 3-2 on Minnesota. Unless
they are now. Colorado just scored. So they're up 3-2 now with about 8 minutes to go in the second.
So they're tied. So you're right. So if the Jets weren't tied with Colorado, I think that, you know, Hellebuck probably doesn't get the start tonight, and you know, maybe Brassois gets that extra start. But I think because the Jets are trying to get home ice advantage and finish second, that's all I wanted to say. And again, obviously it was the right decision tonight, right? Like Lauren Brassois, if Lauren Brassois played that way, and he has been excellent all year, but I don't think he was stopping 45 of 48. You know,
45,
pretty incredible. That was one of Hellebuck's best games of the year. Like, he deserves the first, second, and third star.
Yeah, he at 15 high danger chances at even strength the Predators had, according to Natural Stat Trick, which is an incredible number, because it's not like, you know, think about those power play opportunities that the Predators had in the second period when they were just absolutely peppering Hellebuck with some shots.
I forget who had the penalty.
Pionk, we're tripping, I think.
There you go. The Predators, I remember, had four shots on that one power play. Roman Josi was firing it from the point. Luke Evangelista had that shot from the slot, right? So yeah, this was vintage Hellebuck, and that's what you need this time of year, right? Like, I've seen some comments in the chat, right? Like, yeah, if the Jets are going to beat Colorado, and especially if they're going to go on a long playoff run, he's going to have to be, you know, the best goalie in most of these series, right? So he was incredible tonight, and you kind of lose words to describe, you know, his performance, because we've just seen it for so many years now.
That's right. You take it for granted a little bit. Jets wrap up the scoring in the first period. Dylan DeMello at the 12:46 mark. So it takes just under 6 minutes for the Jets to score three goals. Dylan DeMello gets his third of the year. Assist to Morgan Barron. And let's be honest, I probably should have given it to Gabe Vilardi, but I forgot to do it then. So I might as well give it to Dylan DeMello. He gets our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Seagram's has a masterful lineup of delicious drinks for you to consume responsibly, whether it's Fireball, Seagram's VO, or Seagram's 83. That's Manitoba's number one whiskey, I might add. Whatever it is, please drink responsibly. Your favorite Seagram's products are available wherever you get your liquor products. Obviously, for those in Manitoba, that's usually at your local liquor mart, but wherever you're watching, Seagram's is there for you to enjoy and imbibe safely. Dylan DeMello just walks in, and he's right in the hash marks when he lets this one go. There are four Predators on one side of the ice in just a defensive breakdown. They're all looking at the Jets. They're looking at Nemestnikov. They're looking at Iafallo. They're looking at Morgan Barron. Barron hits DeMello. DeMello's the trailer. He walks in, and then he wires it past UC Saros as the Jets score in bunches. Bang, 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 as our friend Dennis Bayak would say, to give the Jets a 3-1 lead after 20 minutes, as he...
Yeah, and we talked about Dylan DeMello with Jamie Thomas on Saturday morning show. He's already got a career high in points. Muted myself there. Not sure what's going on there, but we talked about DeMello, and you love to see that he's continuing to...
Your mic seems like it's got some gremlins in it or something right now.
Yeah, Drew, you continue. Something's going wrong here. I'm just going to check something on my...
Okay, I'll talk aimlessly. I can ramble with the best of them. But yeah, Dylan DeMello is so key for the Jets. And what you saw tonight is you saw DeMello back with Morrissey after they'd sort of been split apart for those few games.
Good now, by the way. I think there's
there you go.
A few,
good.
Much few loose wires, the story of my life.
And not just in your brain, but in your microphone too. You saw DeMello back with Morrissey in tonight's game because Morrissey had been with Pionk and Dylan and DeMello had been together. And then Rick Bonus went back to sort of what he's more used to. And I think that this is the best combination. Morrissey and DeMello, It works. You don't need to try and reinvent the wheel in this case. Pionk is just too erratic. And I understand why, you know, Rick Bonus was trying to see if playing with a guy with the high skill of Josh Morrissey, he would maybe allow Pionk to elevate his game a little bit. It's just, you know, Pionk is chaos. He's almost like how Dustin Byfuglien was before Byfuglien really got to be the dominant force that we remember. If you remember when Dustin Byfuglien, you know, when he gave it up and he, you know, at the same time was able to generate some stuff, but probably not enough to make up for what he was giving up. That's Neil Pionk right now. He's just too erratic, you know, when it comes to his play on the ice, and you don't want that to impact Josh Morrissey and bring him down. So put Morrissey with DeMello, let them ride together, and the Jets are comfortable with that pairing. Yeah.
Even though, you know, the numbers, the expected goals and Corsi for everything like that, shot share, Morrissey and Pionk aren't bad together, right? But I think that's more, as you said, that's more of a sign of how strong of a defenseman Morrissey is, as opposed to, you know, Pionk making him better, right? So mm-hmm. I agree. Morrissey and DeMello has been your top pair for so many years now. And, you know, look at Dylan and Pionk. And you know, I do think, you know, this is something that the coaching staff is going to have to figure out. I think we've been talking about this for, what, 3 or 4 weeks now, if not longer, Drew. You know, Neil Pionk's play has slipped in the second half of the season. And I mentioned this on Saturday morning show. Like, I don't know if that means that Pionk moves down to your third pair, because clearly the Jets are not healthy scratching Pionk.
No,
there's only 4 games left in the season. If you were going to healthy scratch Pionk, you would have done that by now. And especially with Colin Miller and Nate Schmidt now as healthy scratches, you know, you want to get them at least 1 or 2 games mm-hmm. in these remaining 4 games. We'll see what happens here. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. But yeah, nice goal by Dylan DeMello, nice setup by Morgan Barron. And, you know, again, sometimes even though the Jets are outplayed in a period, you know, if you're opportunistic, and that's what the Jets were here. So you love to see 3 goals in bunches, and that's what the Jets were doing when they were the most successful in the first half of the season. But yeah, I think, you know, it's really hard to add anything to the kind of the Pionk conundrum. Because it's like you said, you can't exactly. It's been talked to death, similar to Ehlers on the top line.
Yeah, there's only so many more words you can put into it.
Exactly. Rick Bonus put Pionk up with Morrissey, but then he put DeMello and Morrissey back together. So the only other thing you can do is demote Pionk to the third pairing. And that is what I would advocate at this point. And that's nothing against Pionk personally. I think it's just, you know, based on the way he's playing. So I don't know if that means, you know, that, you know, you have Colin Miller as your second pairing right shot defenseman. I don't know if that means that you have Dylan Samberg. I mean, maybe you go, you know, you go Brendan Dillon and Dylan Samberg. They've been using Samberg on the right side. And I'm not sure. Logan Stanley and Neil Pionk as your third pair. I don't know if I like that.
That would be, oh boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Some heart palpitations bit. And that's not just my cholesterol talking.
No, exactly. So it's again, if you're not going to take Pionk out of the lineup, there's only 3 D pairs, right? Unless you go with 7 defensemen. I mean, I guess there's half of a 4th pair, but yeah, Pionk's continuing to struggle, and it's crazy because he got assist on the game winning goal, and he's still having a decent, you know, what does he have, 30, 35 points on the season? It's not like he's having a bad year offensively. It's more the way he plays defensively, which is a concern to a lot of Jets fans.
Right. Nathan MacKinnon just scored, made it 4-2 for the Avalanche over the Minnesota Wild. I would expect that the Avalanche should be able to drive that home, having taken a 2-goal lead.
What does MacKinnon have, like 411 points now?
Honestly, between him and Kucherov and McDavid and Austin Matthews, I think Matthews scored again. I mean, there are some incredible individual efforts on display, you know, this season in the NHL.
And there should be a 5-way tie for the Hart Trophy. It should be McDavid, Kucherov, MacKinnon, Matthews, and Hellebuyck. 5-way tie. Give it. Let 5 guys share it this year, Drew.
Would they each get like a fifth of the trophy, or would they just produce 5 different trophies and each of them get to take it home?
No, I would say they each get like a week or two with it, and they just share it. But no, but like honestly, I could hear an argument for any one of these 5 players. Like,
there's no wrong answer.
Like, based on the way Hellebuyck played tonight against Nashville, is anybody going to seriously argue, you know, that he isn't the most valuable player on the Jets, and maybe one of the most valuable players in the league? But we know they never give it to goalies. And with the way, you know, McDavid, Kucherov, and MacKinnon have been piling up points, but it's pretty absurd to think that Austin Matthews could score 70 goals and not be a Hart Trophy finalist.
Yeah.
If I was voting, I would have him as a finalist, by the way.
I don't think his accomplishment, and I mean, again, I know it, how nauseating it is because he plays for the Leafs. Don't worry, folks. I understand loud and clear. But I do not think that his accomplishment and his goal scoring this year is getting enough attention for just how incredible it is.
It's overshadowed because of the Art Ross race.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy. It's really absurd. I mean, he's going to have the most goals of any player since Mario Lemieux had 69, right? He's already passed Ovechkin's 65, which is, what was that, back in like 2008 or I forget. It was a long time ago that Ovechkin scored 65. But right. You're absolutely right, Drew. Like, usually if a guy scores 66 to 70 goals in a year, that's an automatic Hart Trophy, right?
Unless you're in 1993 again or something like that. You're right. Exactly right. 3-1 for the Jets at this point in time after 20 minutes. So they start slow and then they pepper the Predators and take that 3-1 lead. And then that second period begins. And we talked about where the Jets would have been after 40 minutes if it wasn't for Connor Hellebuck. The Jets get outshot 22-5 in the second period, which is just an incredible display of goaltending combined with an inept display of 5-on-5 hockey. Because it's not like the Jets were in a parade to the penalty box in the second period. They took 3 minor penalties in the first period, as it happened.
Yeah. No, it's just one that Pionk tripping penalty that you talked about.
Right.
And the Predators had 4 shots on net. We talked about it. Mm-hmm. Yossi had one of those, I remember. I can't give you all 4 shots, Drew, but I remember Yossi had one of them, and Luke Evangelista, who was really impressive. Anybody who
all over the ice tonight.
Yeah, he's a good player, second round pick. I mean, what a second round pick that was. Mm-hmm. But even though they had 22 shots, Hellebuck stopped all of them. We talked about Evangelista had the breakaway. Philip Forsberg, I remember, had a really good scoring chance. He's 5th in the league or something like that in shots. They mentioned that on the broadcast. So, mm-hmm. you know, they managed to escape the second period still up 3-1. And to me, that's probably what's the most concerning about tonight's game. Like, again, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. The Jets won the game. So the Jets got the 2 points. At least for the time being, they're tied with the Avalanche, but it looks like the Avalanche are going to hold on to beat the Wild, but let's not count the Wild out.
Barring a third period collapse,
sure,
yes.
Sure, but the point is that they got the 2 points.
Yeah.
They found a way to win in overtime. They hung on to regulation, and also Lowry, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but also how good did Lowry and Nemestikov look there to start the overtime period off?
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people were probably seeing that, and look, Rick Bonus has done this before, Drew. He started Lowry and Appleton many times. But, I mean, again, it goes back to how much Rick Bonus and Scott Arneil trust Nemestikov. But he's also such a smart player. Because you look at Nashville and with Ryan O'Reilly and Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, all the good players they have. Mm-hmm. But Rick Bonus has no problem putting Nemestikov and Lowry out there. And it worked. I mean, they had a good first shift to start it off. And then Nashville brought the puck back down. But just wanted to get that in there. I like Nemestikov's game. And, you know, again, I think what you don't like is the Monahan line didn't have their best game, right? And granted, there were some line changes happening and everything like that. I didn't think Monahan had a bad game because I think he was effective on the penalty kill. We talked about he looked good on the Jets' power play goal. But just looking at it at a macro level, you know, throughout the game, that line did not have a very good game.
No, they took a bit of a step back from the highs that they were at before, but I'm not surprised by that because it's not realistic for them to have played at that high level that they did for the last few games to keep that continuing unabated. You know, there's always going to be games where you're not quite as good as you are in previous games. And that was certainly, what I would say about Monahan and Perfetti in tonight's contest. Jets up 3-1 after 40 minutes, and they have an opportunity to really take a stranglehold on the game. It's with Jankowski in the box for tripping. This is at the 5:31 mark of the third period. So Mark Jankowski is in the box. He trips, I believe it was Connor, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong on that off the top of my head.
There you go.
You're right. Good for Drew. The Jets power play doesn't really do anything. And then just as the penalty expires, Pionk gets bodied off the puck in a bit of a race for the puck. I believe it was Kiefer Sherwood who bodies him off the puck. Yep. And then it goes down to Roman Josi, and Roman Josi, throws it towards the net. It doesn't seem like this is a... This doesn't seem like it's going to be much of a play. This doesn't strike me as a dangerous opportunity, but it definitely ends up as a dangerous opportunity, more so than just dangerous. It ends up as a goal as Spencer Stastny gets his second of the year, chipping the puck up and just, under the bar and just over the line, past Connor Hellebuck. It sort of went in and out so quickly that, I mean, it was a little bit of a stunner for everyone. Stastny didn't even seem like he knew that it went in based on his lack of celebration. But the Predators, having killed off the penalty, are right back into the game. This coming at the 7:34 mark of the third period. And instead of the Jets maybe taking a 4-1 lead, it becomes a 3-2 lead with still about 12 and a half minutes to go, Ezzy.
Right. And, no one should be surprised that the Predators, tied this game up. Obviously, we haven't got into the 3-3 goal here yet, but I mean, it was an aggressive penalty kill, and the Predators had the better scoring chances prior to this penalty, right? And yeah, it's just a beautiful, nice little pass by Roman Josi. And yeah, you mentioned, look, Neil Pionk was tired. It was the second power play unit out there, and he's tired, and he gets beat to the puck by Kiefer Sherwood.
Yeah.
And, Mark Scheifele isn't, doing, Kyle Connor isn't doing a great job on the back check as well. So, I mean, again, I thought there was a little bit of complacency, if you want to call it that, or just, whatever word you want to use, the Jets kind of, I mean, they dropped the ball there. I mean, even if you're tired, the second power play unit was out there, definitely less than the first power play unit. But again, Kiefer Sherwood beats Pionk to the puck, and the Jets are just kind of like slow to react in the zone. And like you mentioned, Spencer Stastny, a guy, no relation to Paul Stastny, by the way. I think they spelled
it. But I believe he's actually Spencer Sutton's long lost brother, if I'm not mistaken. He's Spencey's long lost brother.
Yeah, because all Spencers / Spenceys are related, right? That's that. Yeah. Doesn't matter if their last name is different. Right. I mean, Spencey will back us up in here in the chat. I think he's still here. I saw Spencey earlier. He's been providing great commentary as usual. Love you, Spencey. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is just a defensive breakdown, I would say. So yes, I hate to pick on Pionk again, but he loses a battle. Mm-hmm. Sherwood makes a nice little pass to Josi, and then Josi makes a smart little kind of small area pass to Stastny, who backhands it in. And it was funny because, I'm not sure if you thought this too when he scored, he didn't really celebrate. So almost like he didn't think the puck went in, or maybe he was just so surprised. I think he's only played like 25 games in the NHL, and that was only his second career goal. Good for him. But again, these are the swings in momentum. Like you talked about, the Jets have a power play opportunity, chance to go up 3 goals. Now all of a sudden they've lost their 2 goal lead, and we know what happens after. But again, just based on the flow of this game and how many shots the Predators were peppering on Hellebuck, I mean, you knew the dam was going to break eventually, and that's where it broke.
Yeah. Nathan MacKinnon just got his hat trick goal. So, I mean, apparently he's going to score a goal every 3 minutes that this post game goes on for.
Well, again, I mean, this is like Drew, you joked, like this is kind of like late 80s, 1990s hockey here. Right. Yeah. But this is what we're seeing. Right. Like, and again, we'll get an update. We're going to be obviously talking a lot about the Avalanche on this Saturday show. We're going to focus on the Stars here for the next couple of days, but, regardless, Mikko Rantanen has 102 points, and the Avalanche are winning tonight's game handily without Mikko Rantanen, right? And also another thing, wild card that's out there, Gabe Landeskog could come back in the playoffs. I don't know it's been confirmed, Drew. He might come back. It might not be in the first round.
Okay.
But Gabe Landeskog is an option at some point in the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he hasn't played in 2 years. The last time, want to know the last time game Landeskog played was in the Stanley Cup final in 2022, wow. Right? So, it's been almost a full 2 years since he's played a regular season or playoff game, right? I'm just saying that is out there that, Landeskog, he's been skating for at least a month, maybe a couple months. But I think the big one is Mikko Rantanen, because if the Jets face the Avs without Mikko Rantanen, I mean, that makes the task a lot easier. But, yeah, Nathan MacKinnon's crazy. We were joking about that he might hit 155 on Saturday's show, but he's up to 136 or something ridiculous right now.
Yeah, he's incredible. I mean, all the guys who are, you know, atop the scoring leader are truly incredible. And the Jets give up the lead officially, so it's back to tie game a little more than 2 minutes later. So at the 9:41 mark, 2 minutes and 7 seconds after the Avs made it after the Preds, pardon me, made it 3-2, they tie it up. Ryan O'Reilly is 26th, Roman Josi and Gus Nyquist getting the assist. Gus Nyquist has 50 assists this year for the Predators. Talk about just found money that he's been, he's been incredible this season. O'Reilly, you know, you just can't let Ryan O'Reilly into this shooting position because he's going to score goals. Yes, he's at the downside of his career. Yes, he's a grizzled veteran, but this is just bad by the Winnipeg Jets. It's a
Drew, if he's on the downside of his career, this is a good downside of his career.
Well, but I mean, you know what I mean.
26 goals, he could hit 30 goals this year. That's a pretty good downside.
You know what I mean, though, in that
he's not, absolutely. You know, he's, you know, what is he, 32, 33 years old? You're right. Yeah,
exactly. It's a turnover. Again, it's just an unforced error by the Winnipeg Jets. It's a pass that's not tape to tape, and it just sort of ricochets loose into the neutral zone, and the Predators quickly in transition collect the puck, and they move it into a dangerous area. And, I mean, Neil Pionk, and again, we've beaten it. We don't need to rehash it over and over again. He's in no man's land. He doesn't know whether or not he should be aggressive and come out and challenge for the shot, or if he should be more passive. He chooses to be passive. It's not the right decision. He's sort of just standing next to Connor Hellebuck, and O'Reilly whistles it past Hellebuck to tie the game up at 3 goals apiece, just before the halfway mark of the third period. And the Predators certainly have all the momentum and have all the energy as the barn in Nashville is rocking.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, Ryan O'Reilly was given too much space. But again, you know, it's a pass from, I think it was Pionk to Scheifele.
It was Pionk to Scheifele.
Yeah, I think you just mentioned that. And then again, you know, Scheifele's not hard on, I don't think you'd call it a back check, but just his effort to take the puck away from Ryan O'Reilly, or he didn't give his best effort making a play on Ryan O'Reilly, even though Scheifele turns over the puck in the neutral zone. Was it the best pass by Pionk to Scheifele? Outlet pass? Maybe not.
Right.
But again, you know, I just don't love that effort from Scheifele, even though I thought he was great. And I got to say, like, you know, I was hard on Scheifele last year. I think a lot of people were for his defensive play. Scheifele has been better on the defensive end of the puck. There's no doubt about that. But on this particular play, I didn't love his effort. And again, you know, based on the flow of this game and all the shots that were being peppered on Hellebuck, nobody was surprised. You got the feeling after Spencer Stastny scored the second goal that the Preds were going to tie it up. So again, you know, I hate to be, you know, always putting a negative slant on this, because I obviously, like Jets fans, want the Jets to win these games and I want them to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
honesty is what we bring. We bring honesty to the table.
You win a game 4-3, but you allow 48 shots and Hellebuck has to stand on his head.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a commanding win. And that's the thing. And they don't have to be. So I kind of go back and forth and I say to myself, like, you know, the thing with the Jets is they have enough skilled players. They're relatively healthy right now, with the exception of Niederreiter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Vilardi and Scheifele and Connor and Ehlers, and the list goes on and on to Foley. But I mean, you can't expect Hellebuck to do that every single night. He can maybe do it 2 or 3 times in a 7-game series. But you know, you look, Nathan MacKinnon's going to get 1 or 2 points every single game.
You probably haven't seen the hat trick goal. I just saw it on my second screen. It's done in fast forward.
Cheat code. McDavid and MacKinnon and Kucherov are
incredible.
The
speed that he's doing it at.
Different level, Drew. Like, look, Ryan O'Reilly's a great player. Mark Scheifele's a great player. Roman Josi, Josh Morrissey. These guys are on a different level. Again, we talked about it on Saturday's show. It's a race to 150 right now. It's nuts.
It is. It is incredible. You'll watch it during the commercial break. So the game regulation time ends 3-3. The Jets do hang on. I thought they sort of settled in for the final 10 minutes and were not as porous as they had been. And Hellebuck, you know, with the, you know, Brendan Dillon, I referenced it earlier. He makes the great play to knock the puck away from Cole Smith. Otherwise, the Jets may have lost this game in regulation, but he makes the play and the Jets get it into overtime. And, you know, you mentioned it, Lowry and the Mesnikov are the forward group that start for the Jets, and they get some opportunities off the initial faceoff, and then the Predators transition up the ice and they get some opportunities. Then Mark Scheifele is a little bit casual with the puck behind the Jets' own zone, and, you know, or behind the Jets' net, and then the Predators get another great opportunity to win it. And I think it was, again, Luke Evangelista, if I'm not mistaken, who somehow, you know, Evangelista had 10 shots on goal tonight.
10
shots on goal.
Crazy.
And didn't get on the score sheet. That's
a good player.
Incredible number.
He's a good player, but, like, you should never be you shouldn't give up. No player should get 10 shots against
you. No player should get 10 shots. I mean, and then maybe if you're a super duper star, but Luke Evangelista got 10 shots on goal and didn't get a point tonight for the Predators, which is just absolutely incredible. He almost wins it in overtime, but, you know, I don't know if Hellebuck got a piece of it or if he shot it wide. It sort of looked maybe a combination of both a little bit. And then the Jets quickly transitioned right back up the ice after the giveaway. Pionk to Scheifele. It's a 2-on-1 for Scheifele and Connor, and it's an absolute beautiful pass by Scheifele onto the tape of Kyle Connor. Those guys know how to make sweet, sweet magic, and they do so here as Connor into the empty net, not into the empty net, but beating Saros, his 32nd of the year, and the Jets, despite blowing the third period 2-goal lead, get the 4-3 victory to, at the very least, keep pace and do what they need to do to stay in the driver's seat for the second place in the Central Division, Ezzy.
Yeah, you know, just watching the replay, you know, I'm not sure what Tommy Novak does there, because he's actually in a position where he can cover Kyle Connor, but what he does is he kind of, like, tries to be aggressive on him, and what ends up happening is he's just caught flat-footed and Kyle Connor just goes right past him.
Yeah.
You know, so again, this was a 2-on-1 that didn't need to be a 2-on-1. You know, it was just kind of like a flyby by Tommy Novak. I don't know what he was thinking, because Kyle Connor is one of the fastest players in the league. So again, I'm not trying to diminish Kyle Connor's goal. It was a weird play by Novak, because that shouldn't have been a 2-on-1. But again, you know, Luke Evangelista has a great chance, but Connor Hellebuck had Evangelista's number tonight, as we talked about, 10 shots. So Hellebuck was excellent. You know, Scheifele, Connor, Vilardi were excellent as a line. And you got to think, Drew, that, you know, going into the game Thursday against Dallas, you know, that's going to continue to be the line. And again, I don't think, you know, that just because Ehlers coughed up the puck on the first goal, look, Ehlers was good tonight. I had no problem with Ehlers' game.
He only played 9 minutes. So, he, the problem was that,
but I didn't have a problem with the most of his game aside from that giveaway. That's what I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Like, I realized it was an egregious giveaway. It led to a Nashville goal. All I'm saying is, like, I just think, like, a guy like Ehlers, I just don't think at this point in his career his leash should be that short. I understand a guy like Cole Perfetti, because Cole Perfetti, the highs have been high, the lows have been low with Cole Perfetti. I think most people would agree with that.
The leash Ehlers, is shorter.
He makes an egregious giveaway. Put him back on the ice. He's been good with Scheifele and Vilardi. That's all I'm saying. But I think, I think we'd all expect it to be, you know, Ehlers, Monahan, and either Toffoli or Perfetti on the second line against Dallas.
We'll find out on Thursday night. The Jets end up victorious tonight in Music City, USA, 4-3 over the Predators. They're going to finish the night likely still in third spot, as Colorado is beating the Minnesota Wild. But it's all going to loom down to Saturday afternoon in Denver. It's looking like a massive contest between the Jets and the Wild. And the winner of that contest will very much be in the driver's seat for a second place come the end of the regular season. When we return on the Illegal Curve post-game show, Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment, we'll see if there's anything interesting coming out of the Jets dressing room. Much more to come. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg with you. It's a Tuesday night. Don't go anywhere. We're live with the Illegal Curve post-game show.
BP's new New York Sicilian Square Footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian Square Footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has zero calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to RumorsComedyClub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the IllegalCurve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. I hope you're enjoying your Tuesday night. I'm Drew Mandel. Ezra Ginsberg is with me as well. We're talking about the Jets' 4-3 victory over the Nashville Predators. The Jets will next be in action, of course, on Thursday night as they continue this four-game road trip. They head into Dallas to face the Stars, a team that has certainly given the Winnipeg Jets fits of trouble. Fits galore, if you will, so far this season. The Jets look to remedy that on Thursday night in the Lone Star State.
Fits of trouble. Are you talking about Morgan Wallen throwing a chair off of a six-story building? Is that what you're... I thought you would have mentioned that already, Drew. Like, I was waiting for the... almost an hour into the show, and you haven't even mentioned that yet. What an idiot.
That is not the smartest decision that anyone's ever made, but there's been plenty of stupid people who've made stupid decisions.
Myself included. But I've never thrown a chair off of this.
You were well behaved when we were in Nashville. I got to say, you were very subdued.
Well, I also had two children at that point. Like, if we're talking about like 27 or 28 year old Ezra,
or even in jail.
Yeah, or even 31 year old. No, but I mean, I've done some stupid stuff, but I've never done anything close to that. Like, it's just me doing stupid things to myself.
That's right.
I mean, look, you could have killed somebody. And again, I'll be honest with you. I mean, look, I'm not Mr. Pop Culture, Drew. You know me. Like, I'm kind of stuck in the 90s. I still like Pearl Jam and Notorious B.I.G. and Wu-Tang Clan. But I had no idea this Morgan Wallen guy has like 7 million Instagram followers. So he's a big deal. But like, I didn't understand what was going on because Huss is in Nashville and he was talking about it. And I had no idea who Morgan Wallen was, so I had to look into it. And then TMZ, I'm not sure if you saw TMZ, got footage of the chair being thrown off the building, but it was so grainy. Like, it looked like, you know, like one of those old UFO videos where it's just like, you just see like a dark little blur. Yeah. And so it's like, and then TMZ like zoomed in on it and like circled the chair. And it's like, guys, first off, this is terrible grainy footage and this doesn't say anything. And then they showed a police officer carrying the chair off.
Did the chair get in trouble too? Or
yeah, exactly. They're like, bad chair. You're supposed to stay inside. Like, yeah. We're losing focus here of the fact that this is just a stupid thing to do. But again, alcohol makes people do stupid things. I know firsthand.
Does that mean you're not going to Snoop Dogg in June, or you are going to Snoop Dogg in June?
Hey, if you want to go, I'll go with you. I mean, I love Snoop.
I already got tickets.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I might go. I mean, Snoop Dogg he's an OG. Just like we're OGs in the hockey show game, Drew, Snoop Dogg's an OG in the rap game.
Oh, look, as you well know, apparently I go to all the hip hop concerts that come into town.
Yeah, Wu-Tang, Ice Cube. Yeah, 50 Cent. And for Snoop Dogg, murder was the case. And for us, it's burger was the case.
Nicely done. Courtesy of our friends, Murat Atesh, half of Winnipeg's 18 skaters tonight were outshot by at least a 3-to-1 ratio by the Predators at 5-on-5. 13 of 18 Jets skaters were outshot by at least a 2-to-1 ratio. So the Jets did not play very well tonight. And had it not been for Connor Hellebuck, then they would have been very much on the losing end of tonight's contest. But there's some additional context to that, courtesy of our buddy Murat Atesh. Ezzy, let's wrap this up with the tough duck, hardest hitting comment. We do this on each and every edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show.
The Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
Apparently my dad didn't know I'm going to Snoop Dogg, so he just texted to say that he just heard that part. So there you go. The dad, yes, I'm going to Snoop Dogg.
Sheldon likes to know all the concerts you're going to. Like, he doesn't like to find out on the Illegal Curve post-game show. He likes you to text him.
Well, we haven't secured their services for babysitting like we have for Little John and Chameleonaire and
Chameleonaire.
Yeah.
They're going back like 25 years.
They're coming in July.
Oh, is Chameleonaire coming with Snoop Dogg?
No, Chameleonaire is coming with Little John.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're becoming like, we always get good concerts in Winnipeg, but we've been getting a lot of good hip hop concerts. I know Queens of the Stone Age was just here. Mm-hmm. Chameleonaire, wow, that kind of threw me off. That was, what was this song called? Rollin' or Picture Me? You see me rolling.
Yeah,
they exactly. Hating. I can't even do more than that, Drew. But that definitely, like, I just got a flashback to being like 20 years old or something. But tonight's tough duck hardest
tough duck hardest hitting comment before the show gets even further off.
We're gonna give it to Dave Johnson here. I like this comment. We were talking about, we thought it was gonna be Lauren Brossoit tonight in Nashville, but it was Hellebuck, and obviously he made 45 saves, so he was. Did I see right that Hellebuck didn't get a star?
Nashville? Did not get a star in the game. He did not.
Okay. If there was any...
Apparently Morgan Wallen was responsible for choosing the three stars.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Morgan Wallen was, and his chair were making the three-star selection from a jail cell in Nashville. But I don't understand. I mean, like, honestly, the fact that Hellebuck didn't get a star is just a mockery of the three stars. Like, you could, like, look, Roman Josi was good. Ryan O'Reilly was good. Obviously, Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele were great. But the fact that Hellebuck, forget the fact that he wasn't the first star, but the fact that he didn't get any stars. Anyways, who cares? Three stars don't really matter. Dave Johnson, we have a history of exhausting number 37 before playoffs. Need to manage workload. Will be lots of rubber on Jets net next two games guaranteed. That's why it goes back to what we said. We expect Brossoit to start against Dallas, Hellebuck to get the start in Denver, and then you probably go Brossoit, Seattle, and then you go Hellebuck, Vancouver. But I'm with Dave. I would have liked to see Hellebuck get three of the last six, Brossoit get last of the 3-6, but then, you know, it looks like it's going to be Hellebuck four of the last six. So Dave, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and we will send you a Tough Duck toque. And we only have four more of those to give away because after April 18th, we switch over to trucker hats.
That's right. We want to remind everybody about a couple of exciting live on location broadcasts that are coming up for each and every Winnipeg Jets home playoff game. So we don't know if that's going to be game one and game two, or if that's going to be game three and game four to start. Time will tell on that front. The Illegal Curve pregame show, of course, at City Place. We're going to be up in the food court area at City Place for the Illegal Curve pregame show prior to each and every Winnipeg Jets home playoff game. Really excited about that. And also, we're going to be back at our home away from home, Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue, for the first road game of the playoffs. Again, we don't know if that's going to be game one or if that's going to be game three, but we're going to be at Boston Pizza on Taylor Avenue, an Illegal Curve watch party. Come watch the first road playoff game for the Jets with us, and then stay there for the Illegal Curve post-game show. So a lot of exciting broadcasts coming up. Want to remind everybody about that as well. Want to remind everybody that the Rady JCC Sports Dinner, of which Illegal Curve is a proud media sponsor, that's coming up on May the 28th. Wendell Clark, Doug Gilmore, Grant Fuhr, memorabilia galore, one of the best dinners on the sporting calendar or on any calendar in the city of Winnipeg. Get your tickets now at RadyJCC.com. If you buy a ticket and you tell them you want to sit at the Illegal Curve table, we would be pleased to have you. So get on that as well for all your latest RadyJCC.com for that. Big thanks to all of you for joining us for tonight's Illegal Curve post-game show. We remind you that IllegalCurve.com will have all your post-game coverage just as soon as we wrap up the show.
Speaking of the website, hold on. Before we wrap up and thank our sponsors and everything like that,
yes,
is Dave Minuk still part of the show?
I don't know.
Like, when was the last time Dave M. did a show? It's been at least a week. Like, yeah. I realized the guy was in Vegas, but no, I'm obviously kidding. Dave M. lost his voice. I imagine because it's all the karaoke that he was doing in Vegas, or all the,
or I thought it was all the EDM that he was screaming about at the, you know, yeah, Electric Daisy or wherever, yeah, whatever, yeah, console he was at.
Yeah, Dave will be back Thursday night. We're reliably informed, but
yeah,
it's been a while. Me and you have been holding the fort down.
It's true,
as Dave M. gallivants in Vegas and other parts of the United States.
Spency wants to know, is it an open bar at the Rady JCC Sports Dinner? The answer, Spency, is yes, it is, for a large portion of the night. So you can certainly more than make up for your the ticket price in alcohol consumption.
Well, no, Spency, the way Dave M., with Dave M.'s attendance lately, I think we're going to have to take Spency over Dave M. I mean, this is ridiculous. Dave M. better show up on Thursday night here.
Yeah.
Like, I realize he likes his boys' trips and everything like that, but yes, Spency, we are going to be imbibing at the Reedy dinner, and you should definitely come with us and check it out.
Absolutely. I want to remind everyone to subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel, tell your friends, tell your family that we do the Illegal Curve post-game show and the Illegal Curve hockey show. The post-game show comes after each and every Winnipeg Jets game, and then the hockey show comes up on Saturday mornings. Big thank you to all of our sponsors who make the post-game show, the Saturday show, and the website a possibility. That's our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Grid Park, use code Illegal Curve and you can park for free. Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Tough Duck, Betway, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Farmery Beer. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. Jets win 4-3. We'll see everyone on Thursday night. IllegalCurve.com is your destination until then. For Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Thursday, right around 9:45 p.m., we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.